We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network, and of course our lovely friends here at RotoViz, and of course, BetterHelp. Make sure you're paying attention later on in the episode to get a little extra news about our friends over at BetterHelp. It is the free agency period, Nathan. We've had, I don't know, something like 100 running backs change teams and all become starters. A couple of important quarterback notes. Not really much for on the wide receiver front. Kind of similar for tight ends. It's really been a running back free agency period, which I think we all kind of knew considering how many free agent running backs that there were and how many teams really had that need based on who was losing who. There were a couple of trades made as well. So, Nathan, how are we feeling during this free agency period that just continues to get more and more wild?
Yeah, it's a bad week, bad day for my take that we should assume no NFL transactions are going to happen until they happen. All the NFL transactions happened.
Every single one of them.
Other than Justin Jefferson getting traded to the Bengals. That one's not going to happen. but yeah, lots of cuts, trades, signs, and re-signs. We're going to go through the gambit of them. You talked a lot about running backs changing teams. We're not going to cover those guys first. We're going to cover the cuts that have found new homes, cuts that we're going to give predictions for where we'll find new homes for some of the other cuts. We have kind of the biggest name per se that was changing teams that was cut, Russell Wilson. Obviously huge career with the Seattle Seahawks, a couple down years with the Broncos. A lot of football analysts think that Russell Wilson wasn't bad in 2023. The Denver Broncos were bad in 2023, which led to the benching of Russell Wilson, correlated to the whole we needed to, save the injury guarantees, yada, yada. The Steelers are in a fluid situation. And as a guy that we'll talk about later, one of their prime guys, Deontay Johnson, is on the move to the Carolina Panthers. So this is an interesting situation. We have Najee Harris. We have Jaylen Warren. We have George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth. This isn't exactly a offense flush with weapons that I would consider Russell Wilson entering. I think that it'd be a little, I'm not even the biggest Deontay Johnson fan. It'd be a little bit more flush with Deontay.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely can't hurt to have somebody that's, only ever open, assuming he's on the field, he's open. So yeah, I don't know that Russ was, I wouldn't want to say Russ was really bad last year with Denver, but at no point have we seen the hyper-efficient Seattle Seahawk Russell Wilson version. That guy seems to be all but gone. So, again, this offense is the bread and butter of it is a wide receiver, a tight end, and running the ball. That's what's being re-implemented into it. So you have George Pickens, you have Pat Freiermuth, and now you have Najee Harris, who is better than getting credit for, and Jaylen Warren, who is a serviceable 1B in this offense.
Sure. I guess the question being with George Pickens. I think a lot of people are a fan of his from an efficiency standpoint, a big play standpoint. Can he be the guy who gets 10-plus targets? I don't know if that's the case. And if so, does that mean Pat Freiermuth's going to get funneled with targets? Like, this isn't the end of the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2024. Like, they are going to add another wide receiver. They're going to add maybe another tight end. Like, something has to give. It can't just be the George Pickens offense.
No, but George Pickens can be that guy. I mean, he's your AJ Green type, you know? And Pat Freiermuth can handle a bigger workload. We've seen him be successful. I would anticipate both of those guys getting 8-plus targets regularly. I do still think that they'll probably draft a wide receiver, as they've been known to do. Whether that's day two, or, you know, if somebody's there for them earlier, then maybe that's an option. But I think there's plenty of bodies in this draft where they'll end up with somebody on day two that makes sense for, you know, where they're at and could work nicely with George Pickens. But I think there's a possibility they add, you know, one of the lesser, a guy we're going to talk about in a little bit could make sense for them on a, you know, as a slot guy. But, you know, I do think it'll be adding a rookie day two, most likely.
Yep. Let's move on to our next, cut. And it is one Aaron Jones, who was the resulting of a not able to renegotiate his contract and also the signing of another player for the Green Bay Packers. But we have Aaron Jones cut, going to the Minnesota Vikings. This is an offense in flux. Kirk Cousins gone, Sam Darnold in. We'll talk about in a little bit. That's like the name of this episode. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Aaron Jones to the Vikings. Do you see Aaron Jones as the leader of, like, a quote-unquote, like, young offense with a potential J.J. McCarthy or a Bo Nix? Or do we see this as a Sam Darnold offense for a year, followed by a 2025 quarterback? Like, are we worried about the Vikings offense being bad and that obviously impacting Aaron Jones?
No, I'm not, as long as Justin Jefferson's a part of it, obviously. And whether it's Sam Darnold or the rookie quarterback, you know, the first 4 to 6 weeks, I would guess, will be Sam Darnold. And after that, I'm assuming it'll be the rookie. Now, if it's one of the top four quarterbacks and they don't wait and go with, like, Michael Penix or Bo Nix or Spencer Rattler and one of the lower end guys in the later days, then I think that quarterback that they do draft will be ready earlier, and Sam Darnold can presume his role as, you know, probably what the signing was for, as a backup or a bridge quarterback. So with Darnold, I still think that the offense can be fine. I think he's just good enough to provide value to, you know, two of the three notable pass catchers here in Jefferson, Addison, and Hockenson. I think Jefferson and Hockenson will probably be the main beneficiaries of Sam Darnold being quote unquote very bad. But that's not to say that Kevin O'Connell can't, you know, kind of hone Sam Darnold in a bit and, you know, provide that, you know, that easy pocket presence that he was able to do for another quarterback that a lot of people didn't think was very good in Kirk Cousins. And, you know, he looked and with stat padded all the time and the whole nine. So I think Aaron Jones in this offense is going to be able to eat. The offensive line is better now than it's been in probably 10 years. When did Steve Hutchinson retire? that's probably the last time this offensive line was worth a damn. So yeah, I actually really like this, and the fact that he wasn't willing to take a pay cut to stay with Green Bay and then took a pay cut to go to Minnesota is hilarious to me. So, obviously I much prefer the running back that the Packers got, but this is definitely not, a terrible second place as far as who your running back's going to be, because they finally get rid of Alexander Mattison. You retain Ty Chandler. That's a really nice 1-2 punch. And Aaron Jones proved at the end of last year, when healthy, that he still has it. So I'm not concerned about that. I think this offense can still be quite good, whether it's Darnold or a rookie.
And Aaron Jones, and obviously, I already said I'm a little bit worried about the Vikings offense in general in terms of scoring touchdowns. But I will say, Aaron Jones is going to vulture so many Justin Jefferson touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's not going to be.
That's going to be unfortunate. And probably TJ Hockenson. I mean, the red zone capabilities of the offense is going to be really strong, especially, you know, when you bring in a top running back like this and you have a true running back one, where last year they you know, cycled through three number three running backs, even though Ty Chandler was probably a true one. They really just fell in love with Alexander Mattison for no reason. So massive upgrade on Alexander Mattison. Ty Chandler will still have a role. The offense, you know, is going to be at the mercy, unfortunately, of Sam Darnold for a month, but we'll see.
Yeah, and we'll see how, and you mentioned it, like, there's a wide range of, like, what the quarterback can be. I think J.J. McCarthy is rising up draft boards where he might not make it to the Vikings pick. And if so, if the Vikings are drafting QB5 or later, I'm not optimistic for Justin Jefferson in 2024. But I think a lot of people are optimistic about a potential J.J. McCarthy, Justin Jefferson, J.J. to J.J. connection. Next, the big release from the day before we're recording on Thursday, so the Wednesday release, Mike Williams was released from the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, he wasn't in a quote-unquote bad situation with having Justin Herbert as his quarterback. Obviously, Mike Williams has had the injury bug throughout his career. But everyone and their mother's uncle is projecting Mike Williams to be with a better quarterback, with Patrick Mahomes, with Lamar Jackson, with where do we see Mike Williams going? Is he going to fulfill our dreams of, you know, moving up the quarterback ladder?
Yeah, our dreams of playing four games, getting 11 targets for six receptions, six touchdowns, and 445 yards. That's going to be one hell of a season for one Mike Williams. I got to be honest, I don't really think it matters. He's like a wide receiver six or something, wide receiver five maybe. He's old, he's hurt, and he's changing teams. I don't think it matters, but if it's Patrick Mahomes, it's going to matter. However, he's instantly the wide receiver two and the third or fourth option in that offense, regardless of the upgrade at quarterback, because he's not taking looks from Rashee Rice. He's not taking looks from Travis Kelce. And he's not taking looks from Isaiah Pacheco. So even if he goes there, he's going to be situational. He's going to be, he'll be their 50-50 jump ball guy for sure. He'll be a red zone threat. And we know that they get to the red zone, but now if you have another body, that just makes it easier for them to get the ball to Travis Kelce, who they already trust, rather than having to throw it up and hope that Mike Williams can do a backflip in the middle of a catch, because that's the only way he understands how to catch a football, is in some miraculous circus way.
And a quick hit with the Las Vegas Raiders releasing Jimmy Garoppolo and Hunter Renfrow. Is there any projection for fantasy life for either of these guys in a new home?
This has huge XFL implications. I think both of these guys will be changing not teams but leagues. No, I actually think Hunter Renfrow is severely undervalued. The problem is not a lot of teams are chasing slow, undersized white slot receivers. So
Jerry Jones is always chasing that. Actually,
that's true. He must have had his shaders on when he signed Brandon Cooks. So I think Renfrow matters a very, very slight amount. I still think he'll find a home. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo does anything more than backs anyone up from this point forward. We know what he is. He could be, you know, a 4 to 6 week bridge quarterback. But if you are genuinely bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo to play a full season for you, you might as well just forfeit.
Now, one thing I think that we're getting from this week is, you know, we often talk about there aren't 32 NFL starting quarterbacks, even though there are 32 NFL starting quarterbacks. There might not be 32 NFL starting quarterbacks, but there might be like 50 NFL backups. Like there's a ton of quarterbacks that are very worthy NFL backups that just aren't NFL starters. You know, the Jameis Winstons of the world, the Drew Locks of the world. Like there's just so many of these guys that we're not going to talk about today because they don't have fantasy value, but they're very worthy backups, but they shouldn't be sniffing starters, and that Jimmy Garoppolo falls in that tier.
Correct. Correct. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with those guys, but I don't really think that it matters a ton. What does matter a ton, though, are the trades that happen, Nathan. For me, I think it's a tie on the biggest one between Joe Mixon and Deontay Johnson. Obviously, we see Cincinnati bring in Zach Moss and not allow Joe Mixon to kind of reap the benefits of a free agency period. And instead they say, we're going to cut you, and then we don't cut you, and then we trade you, which ended up working to his benefit because now he plays for the Houston Texans. How do we feel about that one?
Yeah, Mixon to the Texans is probably one of the, like, from this free agency period, probably one of the best, like, oh, this could have been much worse. Like, it's definitely like, oh, this is a good spot for him. It's going to be a good offense. He's like definitely high touchdown upside, which is, you know, this sounds silly to say, but Joe Mixon's best NFL seasons have been the ones where he's racking up the touchdowns. He can definitely do that in Houston.
So,
Joe Mixon, I think that it's a great spot for him. Do we have any thoughts on, I know when they let Devin Singletary go to the Giants, some people had like thoughts of like, oh, do we have a re-immersion of one, Damian Pierce? Do we think he has any life behind Joe Mixon, or I think he's firmly RB1?
Yeah, I mean, it's Mixon's show. I don't think anyone's ever really been in love with Damian Pierce, even from the rookie season when he put up the nice numbers. I mean, I never was. I think we've had that conversation on this podcast before. He was just kind of a guy, somebody that's going to get them through on a cheap contract to put up, you know, the most mediocre-esque numbers that you could ask out of a running back but still be serviceable. That was Damian Pierce. I think he's planted firmly as the RB2 full-time backup role. Because when you upgrade that significantly to someone like Joe Mixon, who is only 26 years old, mind you, still has plenty of tread left on the tires, you're going to ride that back. And now, you know, hopefully we see a bump for CJ Stroud in his sophomore season to continue to grow and get better and better and better, which seems almost impossible because he was just about perfect last year. But you know, the wide receiver room is kind of a bunch of young unknowns that turned into superstars because, I mean, I think it's a little bit thanks to CJ Stroud and the fact that maybe those guys are also underrated, but I think this offense is going to be very good. I think Joe Mixon leapfrogs a bunch of these other running backs, you know, from the free agency period, because even though I think had he been cut, the Texans probably go and sign him anyways. They got their guy. They made the trade for him. Even if it wasn't a significant trade, I feel like they could have had their pick of the litter as far as all the running backs go, and maybe they had that inside line on Joe Mixon, and that was their target the whole time.
For sure. Let's move on to Deontay Johnson, Carolina Panthers. I know I'm not like the first person or the last person to be like, this is a great fit, but it's a great fit. The Carolina Panthers wide receiver room couldn't do much of anything last year. Adam Thielen was a solid, for whatever it was worth, like first down target guy. But there was no one who got any form of separation, and the one good thing that Deontay Johnson does well is separation. I think right now the only thing that this, you know, that's not true. I think the primary thing this team is missing is a deep threat, a speed guy, and I think they can get that with one of their 2 second-round picks now. But if you combine that with Deontay Johnson and then Thielen just being a reliable veteran, like, I'm not saying this Panthers offense is going to be great, but it's at least going to give Bryce Young a chance in year two.
I see them packaging those twos to get into the first to grab somebody like Xavier Worthy. I feel like that makes too much sense, especially now with the addition of Deontay Johnson. The rest of that offense outside of Bryce Young is pretty atrocious. I mean, you have Chuba Hubbard, obviously, but that's not exactly, you know, everyone's favorite running back. So I think we see them really attacking offense. You know, losing Brian Burns doesn't help, but I still think that they need to attack the offense and make sure Bryce Young is surrounded, even though they've kind of leveraged their future on a quarterback that was very bad as a rookie, arguably the worst quarterback ever as a rookie. And now you have to try to build around him the best way you can and continue to leverage your future. So great get in Deontay, though.
Yeah, no, the free agency / trades have shown, like, David Tepper hasn't done a lot right. He's starting to do some things right with, like, he's like, okay, I have to give Bryce Young a chance to at least see, is he an NFL starter? Is he any good? He signed a couple guards. He signed a few guys. A lot of, like, the NFL people are like, oh, they're overpaying for a lot of the guys they're getting. But at the end of the day, you got to get stuff to support Bryce Young. If it takes an overpay, and you can, you know, reap the penalties of that later. But, you know, they're getting guys for Bryce Young, young and old, or young and vets, and that's good. So next, let's go to, or I guess with Deontay Johnson, we'll do a quick value check. We haven't talked about a ton of like dynasty specific value so far. What's the highest pick you would give for Deontay right now?
I'd be in that 107-ish range, I think.
Oh, that's a little high. I would probably go more like 109, 110. I'd probably be selling at the 107.
Well, I assume we're talking Superflex or regular.
Yeah.
Because if it's Superflex, then yeah, probably 109.
Yeah, okay. So we're probably in the same range. Because I, at this point,
one
I'm always
would be like 106, 107.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Some might see that as a bit rich, but I think Deontay is going to be getting like 140 targets. So
yeah, however many times Bryce Young throws the football is going to be the amount of targets Deontay Johnson gets.
All right, another guy who has not been a target hog in his career, and I don't think he's going to be a target hog in his next up, Jerry Jeudy, traded for a fifth and sixth round pick from Denver Broncos to Cleveland Browns. They now have Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore. What are we thinking about? Oh, and obviously David Njoku. Is the success of this offense and Jerry Jeudy and Elijah Moore and all these guys, pretty much other than Amari Cooper, is the question, is Deshaun Watson going to be good? Because I think Cooper is quote-unquote QB-proof with Deshaun Watson, but if Watson is who he's been the last year and a half, like it's not good for Elijah Moore or Jerry Jeudy and to a certain extent Njoku.
Yeah, I mean, this is make it or break it time now for Deshaun Watson and probably the Cleveland Browns as a whole. Obviously, Amari Cooper was that shining light last year for them and losing Nick Chubb, who they'll get back, hopefully, having a major injury at 28 or however old he is, not ideal, but we'll see. So adding in Jerry Jeudy to this, I would say a pretty large upgrade to Elijah Moore. But also different receivers. So you have a three wide receiver set along with David Njoku of playmakers and route runners. All three of those wide receivers and the tight end can all get open with ease. And you have the super freak and David Njoku that can just, he'll just run through or jump over whatever's in his way. So you bring back, Nick Chubb. And while I don't think Jerry Jeudy is necessarily going to have huge fantasy implications, I do think that if we see Deshaun Watson return to any semblance of his previous self, that we can definitely see supporting three pass catchers, maybe not in the highest capacity. I don't think there's much fall off from Amari Cooper in this case. But, a 700 to 800 yard season from Jerry Jeudy, a 700 to 800 yard season from David Njoku, Elijah Moore probably, sees a big hit, even though he wasn't necessarily productive. I just think it's going to be the Amari Cooper, Nick Chubb, if he's healthy, show. So you bring in the weapon, you hope to use him. I don't see him taking targets from Amari Cooper.
Can you get Jeudy for like 209?
I think anything past like 206, I think people would be, I think as low as 206 would be like the most I would pay if I'm like seeking wide receiver help. I think that's about that breaking point where there isn't going to be any of those running backs worth having. The wide receivers are all going to be gone. And unless you really want a quarterback in a one quarterback league, or they're all obviously going to be gone by then in Superflex. But I think that's probably about that spot where it's like, well, I mean, it's Jerry Jeudy. He's, still has high draft capital going into a better situation than he was in because Cortland Sutton was still being treated as a wide receiver one. Now he's going where Amari Cooper is clearly the wide receiver one. But I would argue an upgrade at quarterback if Deshaun Watson's healthy. So I still think that, yeah, mid to late two is probably the sweet spot on Jerry Jeudy. I think most owners would snap accept that because they're probably just looking to get out of it going – what they would see is probably a downgrade.
I do think that, and I know we aren't huge, you are more so than me, but we aren't big, the coach does everything thing. But I will say, Kevin Stefanski is 10x the best coach Jerry Jeudy has ever had. We thought that Sean Payton would bring a new offense, but he brought the Drew Brees offense. And the problem with the Drew Brees offense, you need Drew Brees to have
Drew Brees. You do need Drew Brees, and you probably want to have Marcus Colston. That doesn't hurt. Maybe Chris Olave, even if they could pull that off somehow. But obviously he wasn't in the Sean Payton offense, but you know what I mean. You need a alpha wide receiver.
Yeah, and that was missing with the Denver Broncos.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can be a place to work through the challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether that is friends, work, your significant other, or anyone. I think sometimes the biggest challenge for me is the relationship with myself. That is something that I have worked on with my therapist at BetterHelp over the course of the last 12 months that I have found be very beneficial. The main ones of those being learning positive coping skills to empower myself to be able to deal with certain situations in better ways than I was previously. I mentioned that relationship with myself. Having the therapy, having a therapist, and having the opportunity to discuss those things has helped me start 2024 with a more positive version of myself than in previous years. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit betterhelp.com/rotoviz today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/rotoviz.
All right, so we talked a lot about cuts and trades. Now we got to kind of rapid fire through some signs, but we'll probably have about an hour podcast today. So first we have the quarterbacks. We have Kirk Cousins, the Falcons, Gardner Minshew to the Raiders, Sam Darnold to the Vikings. First hits on Kirk Cousins. The fantasy implications are much more the world around Kirk Cousins than it is Kirk Cousins himself. You have the slight downgrade for Justin Jefferson with losing Kirk Cousins, and you have the huge upgrade going from Desmond Ridder to Kirk Cousins for Drake London and Kyle Pitts. For those that care about narrative street, in the quote-unquote negotiations for the number 8, Kyle Pitts said, "I don't want any money to any charity. I just want targets." So right now it's the Kyle Pitts, Drake London show with a dash of Darnell Mooney. Do we see this offense as legitimate, like, top 10 potential? Is the quarterback the only thing that was holding this team back? Oh, obviously, I forgot Bijan Robinson as well. Bijan Robinson goes from a guy who did barely anything to instant double-digit touchdown upside.
I think more importantly than adding the quarterback was the removal of Arthur Smith. But, yes, quarterback was what's missing. And I think overall we hit a slight downgrade on Kyle Pitts because he hashtag hates charity. So – I just kidding. Yeah. Big bump for all these guys. I think we'll see Bijan re-enter that conversation for RB1. And Kyle Pitts is going to make that leap back up. Obviously, so young. If he is getting those targets, he's going to be right back up there with Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, Sam Laporta, Trey McBride. Kyle Pitts will probably leapfrog them because you do have the stat pattern himself, Kirko Chains, and they're not going to win anything, but the offense is going to be very fun.
It's still the NFC, like, the NFC South.
Oh, yeah, they'll win the NFC South, but then get trounced in the first round by the Detroit Lions or whoever they have to play.
I mean, I not that we're doing quote-unquote NFL analysis here, but the Bucs kept everything they needed to keep, and they re-signed Jordan Whitehead. I think that it's a two-team race in that division, but it's, like, a two-team race to lose to the fifth seed, most likely.
Yeah. Well, and they kept everything to still barely win the NFC South, which I called, by the way. Thank you very much. Round of applause. Hats off. Thank you. Called that.
But hold on. What? We're talking about calling things. Didn't you call Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans being gone like 2 weeks ago?
Well, the announcement came out that both were going to test free agency, and then within 24 hours, both had resigned. So, yes, I do owe Nathan lunch for that one. I'll have to make my way to Chicago. We go get some pizza or something. Yeah, so Kirk, I think Kirk is going to have this offense in, I mean, I would be as bullish to say a top 5 offense, because we've seen Minnesota with Kirk be up there. And now I would say as an overall, you're at the very least level with what the Minnesota Vikings offense was. So Bijan, I think, is a huge upgrade to the running back situation. I think Kyle Pitts is even money to TJ Hockenson. And I think that Drake London and Darnell Mooney can be your poor man's version of Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. So I think with the addition of Kirk and how accurate he is and the pocket passer that he is, these guys are going to eat. And Bijan having free reign to A, not be in an Arthur Smith offense, but B, have teams actually be scared of them throwing the football. Bijan's going to be much more free. He's going to get targets as well. But most importantly, he's not going to have stacked boxes because nobody, not you and I, not any defensive coordinator in the league, was fearing Des Ridder. So I think that Bijan is going to have free reign to be the guy we saw in college, be the guy we all hoped and dreamed he would be. And I think it's the biggest boost comes to Bijan Robinson out of all of these guys.
Yeah. And obviously the touchdown upside is huge for that offense. And if you have the Falcons as a top five, top eight offense in 2024, you have to have Bijan as a top three redraft running back, and you have to have Bijan as the RB1. There really isn't much discussion on that if the Falcons are that good of an offense, in my opinion.
And I think they will be. I think they make big strides adding really what they were missing in not only the play calling, but the quarterback position. And you get the accuracy and the poise of Kirk Cousins. Just let's hope they don't have any primetime games.
So we touched on briefly Sam Darnold being a potential bridge quarterback. Is there any, like, is there a level besides, like, if they're just like, oh, we're punting to 2025, is there a level of rookie quarterback they select where Darnold gets the lion's share of the starts in 2024?
I think if it's Bo Nix or Michael Penix, that's probably the version where we see Sam Darnold getting, you know, a full-time starter and until the Vikings are, you know, 2-10 and they're like, you know what, how much worse can it get? Let's just throw the rookie in there. So, I think they upgraded defense heavily. I think they're going to return to a little bit more of a run game, even with, you know, the wide receiver that they have, but they'll still be able to do some of the things that they could do with Kirk. Obviously, it's a huge downgrade to Sam Darnold. But if Kevin O'Connell continues to bring the best out of players that we have seen in past, there's some precedent for this. I mean, Kirk's best years have come with the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, having Justin Jefferson helps. But there is some Kevin O'Connell bias to that. So I think this offense, it is downgraded slightly. But I still think that they're going to be very good, especially when you upgrade the running back position that heavily. From, you know, the washed out Dalvin Cook leaving to them putting all of their eggs in the Alexander Mattison basket to getting an actual running back in the NFL.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to Gardner Minshew and the Raiders. The Raiders don't seem to be in a position to select a quarterback. Like, they could theoretically, quote unquote, reach a little bit earlier for JJ McCarthy, or they could take one of the day two guys with Bo Nix or Michael Penix. But not a lot of people have them taking a quarterback. So does Gardner Minshew have the chance to be an actual, like, non-bridge, like, starting quarterback for the Raiders?
Yeah, I think in the position that they're in, the guys that without them moving up, I would argue Gardner Minshew is better than some of the other options that they'll be left with.
He's probably the same age as Michael Penix.
Probably. So now let's say you go late one or day two or day three, whatever it is, to find any rookie quarterback that you hope to bring along. I don't know that any of those guys are going to be beating out Gardner Minshew. So while it's still probably redraft value, I do think that Gardner Minshew, we've seen enough from him over the years where he's at least going to be a serviceable. He's going to be a really nice streaming type quarterback. Whether it's in Dynasty or in redraft, obviously we're a Dynasty show. So I don't think he gains a ton of value, but he is going to be a starter. I don't think there's any question about that unless they break the bank and move way up to get one of the top four quarterbacks. That's quite possible. Again, they upgrade defense. Their offense gets worse with the loss of Josh Jacobs, but We could still see them do okay offensively. You still have Davante Adams. Gardner Minshew is going to feed him, but that's very, very clear. We'll see what they do at running back, whether that's Zamir White or they go after one of these. Maybe they like one of the rookie running backs. I don't think really anybody else does, but that is definitely possible. AJ Dillon could still be an option there. I don't know what you would need two of the same guys for in Zamir White and AJ Dillon, but maybe they just want two massive humans to smash into the line 30 times a game and gain like 8 yards.
All right, let's move on to the running back position. I'm going to just rattle off all the running back names, and then we'll pick and choose what we want to talk about. We have Saquon Barkley Eagles, Josh Jacobs Packers, DeAndre Swift Bears, Derrick Henry Ravens, Gus Bus,
Gus Edwards, Los Angeles Chargers with Harbaugh, Austin Eckler Commanders, Devin Singletary Giants, Antonio Gibson Patriots, and Zach Moss, don't call me Thad Moss, to the Bengals. So just for you to lead the conversation here, what is the landing spot slash player link that you like, man, that's awesome?
Well, I would never thought I'd be saying this because there's, I would say, four really good running back signings here. But the one that, and it's short term, but how on earth are you going to stop the Baltimore Ravens, especially in the red zone? Derrick Henry is still some semblance of Derrick Henry. He's not the Derrick Henry of old, but he's still very good. And we've seen Gus Edwards produce, I mean, over and over and over again in this offense. And you go from Gus Edwards to the massive upgrade of Derrick Henry. I would argue Derrick Henry gained the most value out of all of these guys because your Saquons, your Josh Jacobs, your DeAndre Swifts all still had really good value. Saquon's going to get a bump going to the Eagles, playing with Hurts in that offense. That's huge. Josh Jacobs to the Packers. We've seen running back produce time and time and time again in that young, fun offense. I think he's going to be very good. And I think DeAndre Swift with the Bears, whether it's Caleb Williams, Justin Fields, or one of the other rookie quarterbacks, I think that offense continues to get better. And even though it's probably a downgrade situationally for DeAndre Swift, he is going to be that guy. And I know people were like, oh, but Roschon Johnson. No one cares about Roschon Johnson. This is going to be good for DeAndre Swift, downgrade offensively, but still good for him because he's actually going to get the majority of the looks. And he's going to either be helping out a growing, getting better Justin Fields or Caleb Williams. I think we all assume it's Caleb Williams at this point, but there's, you know, some loud mouths on TV saying, well, what happens when the Bears just keep Justin Fields, trade one and move back or whatever. So, I still think Derrick Henry gains the most out of this in any format just because the precedent of Gus Edwards, and you get a massive upgrade in Derrick Henry from Gus Edwards. So, a lot of fun ones here. Saquon's probably my second on that list. That's huge. He's going to be like a good full-time version of DeAndre Swift for them. Again, assuming he's healthy and on the field. But yeah, this free agency period with running back was pretty wild. I think, you know, Antonio Gibson is going to be a fun one. He could be that Danny Woodhead type for the Patriots, even though it's not the Belichick offense anymore. Or that offense anymore. It's going to be a little bit different, but I still think that he can provide some nice later value at running back for those that really enjoy the zero RB. He can be a nice target there. And I think Austin Eckler is going to be a sneaky, productive guy as well, assuming he stays healthy. I still have a problem with the fact that Brian Robinson is still he's still going to have a voice in that offense. So you're going to have a lot of backfields with two back committees. And then a few that are going to be true workhorses, like the first four guys that I listed.
Well, way to just talk about every freaking name on the board, Dan. Jeez Louise. Everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people probably know my like dynasty kryptonite is overvaluing young ascending offenses. I will value the Caleb Williams offense like it's already a Mahomes offense before it even starts. So I am big on DeAndre Swift. I do think that he's never going to be the guy that's getting 25 to 30 touches. He's not going to be the Derrick Henry. But if he can get you 12 carries and 5 targets a game, that's going to be an RB1 with as long as the offense is anything, with how good DeAndre Swift is on an efficient basis. I'm not even a tiddlywink of concern for Roschon Johnson on the DeAndre Swift end. I do think that Derrick Henry had a wider variance because if he went – I didn't – obviously – Derrick Henry is still good enough that he could control his own destiny. He wasn't going to go to the Commanders. But with Derrick Henry, I think that going to Baltimore was predictable, but also really, really good. The only concern I have now from a dynasty perspective is, are we overreacting to how good that situation is?
No, I don't think so. That red zone offense is going to be impossible. You look at the amount of touches that Gus Edwards has had in the red zone, and then the upgrade that Derrick Henry provides. I just don't see how you're stopping them in the red zone. It really is going to be just, it's going to be magic. And I historically have not been a Derrick Henry guy, but what a perfect fit. What a great signing by Baltimore. That's going to be genuinely fun to watch. There's going to be a lot of touchdowns had.
And speaking of young ascending offenses, the youngest team in the NFL in 2023 was the Green Bay Packers, and they added one of the best running backs in the NFL. And is this the year? Is 2024 going to be the year Josh Jacobs is actually used as an effective pass catcher?
Well, there's nobody else there to in the backfield to take looks from him at this stage. You know, Aaron Jones obviously signs with the Vikings. A.J. Dillon gone, looking at new homes. Josh Jacobs can be that guy. Now, as an effective pass catcher, I still struggle with that a little bit because you've got four wide receivers that have proved to be quite good. Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Romeo Doubs. Plus, you have Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. So, man, I want to love him in that situation. I think he's very clearly the workhorse running back. I just struggle finding him enough targets to give him a huge boost from that perspective, because even though Jordan Love is that dink and dunk type of guy, you still have four wide receivers potentially, unless they trade one, that are going to need to get fed. Plus the tight ends, which haven't really been as prominent over the last couple of years for them, where kind of everyone thought that they would be. But I think there is real potential for Josh Jacobs to get a bump there. But he's very clearly going to be the workhorse back, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that outside of, I think Derek Carr had one really good year, like two or three years ago, this is going to be by far the best offense that Josh Jacobs has been a part of. Young ascending offense, it's going to be scoring touchdowns, bump up for Josh Jacobs into like dynasty, like RB, like probably 6 to 10 range.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to argue against that. And the offense is going to be fun. I think it's a boost to Jordan Love as well. I think we saw him do some good things. Still, I would say getting maybe slightly overvalued, or not overvalued, but overhyped, because his value hasn't really chased it. I don't mind the baby cooing. I like the baby. It's soothing for me. You know, I haven't done this, Nathan, I haven't done the baby cooing in 6 years, so I'm okay with it. I think that Jordan Love, this does nothing but help him. The offense is going to be fun. It stays young by getting, well, A.J. Dillon's a little bit younger, but Aaron Jones is 29. So you get a little bit younger at your true starting running back position. And they stay young. They stay fun. This offense is going to be really good, assuming that they continue to progress. So it's hard to not love what they've done. And the wide receiver room is great. The running backs got better. And yeah, I think unfortunately, as a Minnesotan, the Packers probably to the moon. This NFC North could get really fun really quick.
All right, let's go to the wide receiver / tight ends that signed with new teams. We have Calvin Ridley, Titans; Gabe Davis, Jags; Darnell Mooney, Falcons, who we briefly touched on; and Mike Gesicki, Bengals. I'll just start by saying, Dan, I'm ready to get hurt by Mike Gesicki again.
You and I both, brother. I've been on the Mike Gesicki train for far too long, and unfortunately, well, or fortunately, I have so many shares that, you know, I already have Mike Gesicki pretty much everywhere. So I'm okay with that. I think the one, and I will preface it by saying, what a hell of a signing. Great job, Tennessee Titans. But $92 million for Calvin Ridley? Hey, I know you have the cap space. What are you doing? That offense for Will Levis immediately gets way more fun, though, because you still have DeAndre Hopkins, who has proven that he is not washed. He's still that guy. Maybe not the same prime DeAndre that we had in Houston, but you bring in Calvin Ridley to this fold, and that immediately elevates Will Levis as well, even if he's mediocre. Being able to push the ball down the field, having Hopkins winning those 50-50s, Ridley consistently open. I think the Tennessee Titans, while they probably didn't need to spend $92 million on Calvin Ridley, that's a great signing for them. So I don't hate that one. I think Gabe Davis is still going to end up getting too much hype. He's a one-trick pony. But that's good for Trevor Lawrence, who likes to push the ball downfield and hasn't really had the push-the-ball-downfield guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is by far, like, I know you're kind of rain on the Gabe Davis parade, and I might be trying to start the Gabe Davis parade, because this is something that
Trevor Lawrence has not had at the NFL level,
right.
A guy who can just go out and get the 40-yard bomb. Like,
yeah.
And so I think that's been part of, like, I think some people have, like, criticized Trevor Lawrence for that, and I'm much more criticizing the weapons that he's had so far in his NFL career. So I think having that deep threat is going to be huge, both from the deep threat perspective as well as opening up the middle for Christian Kirk. So I like the Jaguars offense better with Gabe Davis than with Calvin Ridley. I think it's a huge overpay with the Calvin Ridley to the Titans. But I think similar to the Bryce Young overpaying for the guards thing with the Panthers, the Titans kind of like, you kind of had to do. I mean, maybe you didn't. Maybe you could have gotten a Mike Williams. Maybe you could have gotten somebody else. But, you know, putting weapons around a young quarterback is rarely like a bad move.
Right. And somebody that's been productive like Calvin Ridley is only going to be beneficial. Gabe Davis, who has proven to be a big down the field threat, and this could potentially be a better situation for Gabe Davis as well, where he's not chasing Stephon Diggs' coattails and having to deal with any inconsistencies in that offense, not having to deal with Dalton Kincaid. That's going to be a little bit of a bonus for Gabe Davis as well. I still think he's going to be one of those higher-end best ball-type assets versus a true boost in, like, big-time dynasty value. Now, I would be okay eating those words because getting Trevor Lawrence, somebody that can actually take on some targets and you know, get the ball downfield and score some touchdowns, that would be great because then we get our Trevor Lawrence back and he gains a bunch of value. So I think there was a lot of fun signings in this. And you know, going back to the Mike Gesicki thing, wanted Irv Smith to be that guy. Irv Smith finds a new home as well. I think Gesicki can bring some value there, especially when they move on from T. Higgins, which seems inevitable at this point. We'll see what happens if they bring back another wide receiver, if they draft a wide receiver, if they trade for a Minnesota Viking who shall not be named because I'm not going to wish that into existence. That would be very, well, it'd be very fun to bring the LSU offense back. Then they'll just have to trade for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. This is going to be a crazy draft process where I think there's going to be a bunch of trades. I think teams are going to be moving around and we're going to see more bodies moving.
All right. Let's wrap up the show with some of the re-signings. Not a whole lot on the re-signing front other than franchise tags. But we have Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Noah Fant. Are you as equally sad about Noah Fant not finding a new home?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. We'll see what they do at quarterback, but the removal of Jerry Jeudy, I think, is going to be good for Noah Fant because he can end up being that big slot from the tight end spot that would allow, you know, your Greg Dulcich to actually play tight end. And, we'll see what they do with Cortland Sutton. I know that there was some talk about potentially moving on from him, but I think you keep him to help whatever quarterback is going to be there. And maybe Noah Fant can end up becoming the quarterback's binky, if you will, the safety valve of those easy dump offs, easy plays. And I think it could potentially open up more window for Javonte Williams as well to get more involved in the passing game. So
where did Javonte Williams go?
Isn't he not still a Bronco?
No offense to with the Seahawks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. So Seattle, good Lord. Okay. I was stuck in Denverville. Yeah. He didn't even play for them. Okay. Going to Seattle, you know, they don't, Geno. You still have DK, you have JSN, the skeleton of Tyler Lockett, who has unfortunately taken all of the love from JSN. Yeah, no, get me somewhere else, but obviously stuck there for now.
Are you ready for a take, Dan? Are you ready for a take?
I'm ready for a take.
Justin Fields, this might not be a hot take, but it will be in certain circumstances. Justin Fields will be playing in the NFC West. He'll be playing in the NFC West.
Do we have breaking news, or this is just your guess?
No, I'm just saying he'll be playing in the NFC West. I want it to be the Niners. That would be the most hilarious thing from a content, and I think it might make sense from an NFL perspective. Seahawks, I think, are the Seahawks Broncos are really the quote-unquote leaders from the public perception. But I don't think the Rams would be bad either.
Yeah, that could be a fun one. You know, you sit a year behind Stafford, potentially. You get Justin Fields some packages and let him get out there and spread that offense out a little bit. But, yeah, I think the Seahawks would make sense as, you know, the again, it's going to be whether if it is the West, you know, you're going to probably end up sitting unless you're playing for the Broncos. And man, I want to see Justin Fields starting somewhere. That's all I want. He needs to be starting wherever it is. He's going to be fun to watch.
I think any hopes and dreams of Justin Fields starting in 2024 are dwindling. Seattle maybe to overtake Geno, and I just don't see Denver happening.
No, it'd be tough, and it doesn't really make sense for that Sean Payton offense either. So, you know, we'll get there when we get there, I suppose. But I think you're right. I think 2024 for Justin Fields is all but out the window, unless the Bears have been, you know, playing with all of our heartstrings and really are going to move that first pick for a King's ransom and move down and maybe get Marvin Harrison Jr. Who knows?
I tell you what, though, I think that, I mean, this isn't any sort of hot take at all, but if you thought the Bryce Young trade was a haul, that's going to look foolish compared to the Caleb. It's going to be like four first round picks
and a couple firstborns. It's going to be. Well, I mean, do the Patriots or the Commanders feel the need to swap that pick? You know, I mean, you could see a team come from the rafters.
I like Jaden Daniels fantasy wise, but if it isn't. Like, if the Patriots could go 3 and then 34 and a first and maybe, like, one other piece to get to 1, like, sign me up. Like, Caleb Williams is that much better than Jaden Daniels.
You know, Johnny Manziel, Caleb Williams, who's to know?
Alrighty, boys, that should wrap us up for today. Any last words, Dan?
No, fun free agency period. I don't see it necessarily slowing down, even though a lot of the names have already kind of clicked and happened. I still think that there's more moves to be made. We've seen these teams be more and more willing as time goes to make some of these reaches and make big moves. So I think, again, this less little bit of time left before the draft and during the draft, we're gonna see some more fun things.
All righty, that should wrap us up for this week. For thanks to Tradecast and Baby Cooing.